Dead Set Legends for your grand final week with Joey J, Rosie and Emma. Well, this is a real treat for us. Someone that everyone wants to talk to in the lead up to a grand final. Four premierships to his name. Coach Alistair Clarkson joins us on the program. Alistair, we are thrilled to be able to have you on the show this morning. But as a coach on a break from the game for now, can you relax a little bit and enjoy this weekend more than you have in a long time?
Yeah, probably. I'm enjoying the fact that I don't have to be going at 100 miles an hour at the minute. The funny part about our game is that if you're going to be a senior coach, you need to be going flat stick, and I've been doing that for 17 years. So, Carlton and Collingwood were both really big clubs when I was a kid growing up, and I couldn't think of two better clubs to want to coach next time round if I did end up doing that. But the timing just wasn't right for me. You know, I've been going at it flat out for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to the next 12 months and just operating in second or third gear rather than overdrive, and just seeing where it takes me beyond the end of next year.
So, Clarko, be honest though, have you actually completely switched off from football, or are you still sort of watching some games and just having a look around, or have you actually gone, no, I'm just getting away from it for a while?
No, I've just got such a passion for the game, Joey, that I still love watching it and seeing how it all unfolds. And I'm intrigued with this week's contest. It's so hard to pick a winner, you know. One minute I'm thinking Melbourne are going to win. I think they've got the better balance side across the ground. But then I just love the Bulldog spirit and, you know, the way they're coached. You know, Bevo did a marvellous job against Port Adelaide, you know, especially the Alir matchup. And so it's just going to be intriguing, a couple of battles within the game. So I still love the game and follow it. And I'm hoping over the next 12 months that I can, you know, give something back to the game in a different sort of capacity than clubland. You know, I've just got so much from the game as a player and a coach over the last 35 years. And, you know, it's the first time for the next 12 months that I'll have an opportunity to just work outside of clubland, but still do something for the game somehow. Now, I'm not sure what shape that will take over the next 12 months. I want to do a bit of study and go overseas if I can get there, but it's a bit difficult with Corona at the minute. But, the next 12 months, give something back to the game and then see where it takes me beyond that in 2023.
Clark, I'm sure Gil McLaughlin will pick up the phone if he hasn't already. Hey, something you said 18 months ago has really stuck with me, and I reckon has shaped the conversation around the game since then. You said no bugger can score in the game. That was in March 2020, 18 months ago. The AFL introduced the stand rule to try and free up the game, bring more breath into the game, as Joey has said this week. Do you feel like things have improved since you said that?
Yeah, well, I don't think I was the catalyst for it, but I like the idea of, you know, I reckon for the first time this year, I mean, the mark of the year contenders, you know, and there was, they came down to, you know, Tim O'Brien, Jack Riewoldt, which was a ripping mark, I might add, and obviously Shai Bolton, but there was probably five or six others or more. You know, nearly every week there was two or three great marks being taken. I'm not sure if it was the rule changes, but I love the high mark is a great feature of our game, and so is tackling. And so I'm keen for tackling to be rewarded more in the game because it's great. That is the physicality. The bump has had to go out for various reasons, and we understand that, the concussion and the severity of injury, but the tackle is a great feature of our game, and so is the high mark. And I'm just loving the fact that the high marks come back into the game. I think it's a little bit to do with the rule change, but more to do with coaching, where coaches have said, listen, let's stop buggerising around with the ball in the back half, just kicking short, and let's be prepared to kick longer to a contest. And obviously once the ball is in flight more, you know, players can set up and have a decent crack at jumping at the footy. And I reckon that's a beautiful feature of our game and has been for over 100 years. And that has come back into vogue in the last 12 months. And I think it's a little bit to do with rule change, but it's probably more to do with coaching, just saying, listen, if we want to score more, we've got to go more direct.
I thought you guys were ruining the game, Clarko. Wasn't that the chat? The coaches are killing the game? You're helping the game.
Yeah, well, I think coaches might have helped fix it up in the last 12 months. I think footy's been, you know, I was really concerned. Wasn't sure whether it was the hub or the shortened games or what it was, but I was concerned with the direction the game was going in 2020. But 2021, you know, I've been pleased, especially seeing those high marks come back in the game. Mm. And if we can if we can couple that with rewarding, you know, really, really good strong tackles, then, you know, it's not about every tackle being rewarded with an infringement free kick, but it's just making sure the balance of, you know, maybe 15 to 20% of tackles being rewarded rather than just, you know, 5% as it currently is.
Yeah, I think we've had a cracking season of footy. It'll be a cracking grand final. Hey, Clarko, all week this week on Dead Set Legends, we've had a heap of premiership stars and guests on the show, and all of them have just been able to tell us a bit of an untold or a little known story about grand final week. You've been involved in five as a coach. Is there a sort of story that hasn't really been out there in the mainstream that you can tell us about that's been interesting?
Yeah, well, probably the story that hasn't been told is the Cyril Rioli story leading into 2014. He hurt a hamstring, like one of those tendon hamstrings. So it wasn't just a normal strain. And, you know, those tendon ones require, some of them require surgery, but usually they're a 12 to 14 week injury. So when Cyril hurt his hamstring, I think it was against Sydney up in out of the Olympic Stadium there. And that was we knew straight away in the aftermath of the scanning that, you know, this he's going to be really cutting it fine to return. And a lot of the Aboriginal boys don't like a finish line when it comes to running. You put a footy in front of them, they'll run all day. But if you put a finishing line there, they're not too keen on the running. And Cyril was one of those. And, you know, we're doing the striding programs and all that sort of stuff that were just such a stringent part of their protocol to return from a hammy. But all those striding programs had a finish line. Anyway, right on the eve of the finals, Cyril didn't take the necessary steps that he needed to, and he fell back into a hole where I don't think he hurt it again as much as he just didn't have any confidence at all. And so he more or less gave up. And, you know, once he'd given up, the medical staff weren't so sure either. And I said, listen, we've got to give this one more go. Let's not worry about a finish line. Let's just put the Tommy Sheridan in front of him. Let's just slowly integrate him. Let's slowly integrate him back into skills. And sure enough, by three weeks later, he played his first game in a VFL grand final, would you believe, for Box Hill and at the old Etihad Stadium, now Marvel. And then he played the next week in the grand final, which was his first senior AFL game for about 14 or 15 weeks. And we just threw him straight into the middle.
Yep.
Getting close to that Tommy Sheridan as we caught in the first part of the game. And listen, he did some marvellous things. He terrorised Kurt Tippett that night or that day. And but it was a story untold, you know, about how difficult his recovery was from that injury and how it nearly didn't come about at all because, you know, right on the eve of the finals, he had a bit of a setback.
We're speaking of Hawthorn Premiership mastermind, Alistair Clarkson. I could listen to that sort of stuff all day. Another one, which I don't ever really think's been fleshed out, Clarko, is how you got Luke Beveridge out of a government crime fighting agency in 2011 to join you at Hawthorn. So he was a premiership assistant at Collingwood in 2011. Then he leaves coaching and joins a government agency basically to combat fraud and various sort of drug activity. He's never really told this story properly. I was asking him one day about it. I said, how did you go from coaching to crime fighting to Hawthorn? And he looked at me and said one word.
Clarko.
He said, so how did you do it, mate? Here he is crime fighting for the country. And then he said, nah, mate, you belong in the coach's box.
Well, that one word, he said, Clarkson, I've got one word for Beveridge, and that's superannuation. those public agencies, they pay really, really good super funds. And Bevo, I reckon, was on a good wicket. And he said, if I don't go back to the public service, I'm going to lose some of my super benefits. So he snuck back in there for 12 months, and then I was able to lure him out because he just listen. He couldn't get himself away from the liniment. You know, he'd had a great time at Collingwood and helped them win a flag in 2010, and then we enticed him out and
well done.
Helped us at the Hawks. But he was great. Isn't it amazing sliding doors? You know, he finished up his time at Hawthorn and wasn't sure he was going to get a senior opportunity. So he actually took a job at St Kilda to be like their director of coaching, and maybe that was going to push into recruiting and footy management. And, you know, Bulldogs parted company with Brendan McCartney, and they went chasing Bevo, and gee, he's done a marvellous job. Gee, it's so exciting to see what's happened to the old foot of Slay side.
The rest is history.
They've become a real power of the competition now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Alistair, we love your work that you're doing with 36 Short, which produce some delicious gin and vodkas, I hear. I was on the website last night just sussing it out, thinking what I might order.
It's up our alley.
And this weekend, it's right up our alley.
Right up our alley on the show.
Of alcoholics. So. But this weekend, when you buy any 36 Short gin, vodka, or other product from the website, which is 36short.com.au, you go into the draw to be one of 20 lucky winners who will receive an exclusive grand final debrief.
What?
On Zoom with yourself and Damien Hardwick. So winners will be notified on Monday morning, and the Zoom will take place that night, 5 o'clock Melbourne time. What an outstanding prize. People will be clamoring for this.
I'm going to buy a couple of bottles myself so I can go into the draw. listen, these are great friends of mine. My wife and I got to meet this family, the Lulises. They're a Macedonian family, and they were so helpful to us as a family when we were in Adelaide for 4 years. We knew very few people when we went across there, and they were just a great family. And the father was a guy called Pando. He had two brothers, and he left Macedonia in the 1950s and came out to the Promised Land. You know, Europe was so depressed post the Second World War, so a lot of migrants came to Australia for the promise of a better life. And the three Lulius brothers, you know, landed at the Market Garden area of West Adelaide, and then moved up to Virginia to farm some land up there and grow some tomatoes. And Pando, the old man, he had this great passion for home brews, you know, whether it was gin or whiskey or vodka. And they finally grew their vegetable business to a point where they could get this license to distill gin. And so just at the point where they were just about to get the license, Pando unfortunately died suddenly. So the two sons, John and Con, who were mates of mine, really good mates of mine, they, as a legacy to their father, they decided that the others could look after the vegetable growing business, and they'd go full-time into distilling this gin and then selling it on the market. And they're very, very good at the distilling side of things. Not so good. They're so humble as a family. They just don't push themselves out there. So I said, well, I'll try and do my little bit for you boys. I'll try and promote it a little bit for you and see if we can get some sales. So they're a great family, and it's just a really, really heartwarming story the way it's all evolved.
Beautiful. It is, and it looks like a great product as well. So you've got a new customer in me, and don't worry, Jay-Z, he's a
king of gin.
He's a bin. Bit of lemon.
Put a bit of pink grapefruit juice that's cordial, tonic water, lots of ice, and just a nice little healthy slab of gin. And it's a very, very refreshing drink. It's for both males and females, but particularly the women for a refreshing spring carnival drink. Get on board. It's a ripper.
You sold me for one on Saturday night when I'm watching the grand final as well.
Later this afternoon.
Salivating. Hey, before we go, Clarko, quickly, a tip for the weekend, and who's going to win the Norm Smith?
Yeah, well, I spent a couple of years in the latter stages of my playing career at the Demons. So, they've had so much hardship. You know, really sadly, that some of that hardship has resulted in, you know, really, really good people and young people dying prematurely. So it'd be great for the Melbourne club. They haven't won a flag for 57 years. So my heart's certainly going with the Demons. But geez, I was just so impressed with Bevo and the Dogs, the way they've gone about it. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Dogs knock them off. But I'm hoping to see. It's just great driving around the southeastern suburbs and the amount of people that have painted their fences red and blue.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's the same out in the west with the support that they've got out there. But I'd really like to see the Demons get up, and I think they've got the group of players that can win it. They've got a real discipline about the way they've gone about it in 2021, and I think they're primed to play really well.
Alistair, we really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, what a
treat. We've got that website. It's 36short.com.au. Go get yourself a bottle of gin, vodka, or another product to go into that draw for that sensational prize. Enjoy grand final weekend.
God, I was just going to say, my Normie Smith, if he plays anything like he did in the third quarter, then Maxi Boone's got the North Smith wrapped up. But, yeah, thanks for your time this morning, guys. Cheers.
Thanks,
it's on.